know is
Love
that
Talk Radio.
One of the things I write about a lot, and one of the things that I do, is universal design. So you and I will be able to talk about that, right?
Yes.
Do you use the phrase universal design?
No, it's above the realm of my clients, and I don't want to frighten them away with doing large projects.
Okay. So you do individual homes, mostly?
Individual homes, yes.
Right. And what's the call that you get most? For bathroom?
The call is usually someone that came out of the hospital and they need grab bars, handrails, secondary handrails, mm-hmm. Or even small one- or two-step ramps.
And do you ever put in barrier-free showers and toilets, things like that?
No, I put in raised toilets or I modify the toilets to be higher. But one of the most things I impress upon the client is home safety, the client and their children, home safety, and that the bedroom is the most dangerous room of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I have in the past put in emergency alerts for clients and trained
okay.
them how to use them.
And what
security
about,
lighting, door locks, so on and so forth, smoke and carbon monoxide detectors, things that most seniors never go down their basements, so I check out the furnace, the flue pipe, make sure there's no hazard for carbon monoxide, basement windows that they're secure, and things they would never see, like a dripping pipe, or so on and so forth.
Very good. What about kitchen? Have you worked in kitchens? And if so, what would be important there?
Yes. Kitchens would be your faucets, the ease of use of faucets, garbage disposal, the fact that people may not be able to reach. If they're too short, they may not be able to reach. So I've
well, what if they're in
like
a wheelchair? They may not be able to reach it also.
Well, that's a different thing. That's a major modification. Yes.
Uh-huh. So
okay,
let's say it's just that they're having trouble with their hand motion. Are there specialized faucets that you can put in?
Yes.
For people that have trouble with that?
Specialized faucets, both hand controlled and some of them are electronically controlled.
Uh-huh.
And there are also anti-squall devices.
Uh-huh.
In the whole home that you
right.
put on the water heater. Basically, I also do a lot of repairs, and I'm not just a parts changer. And I come in and I get a broad view of the client, not just the repair I'm there for, but you know the potential problems that they may not know about, including walking up their driveway and seeing that their inspection sticker is expired or that they need air in their tires.
Mm-hmm.
I take a very broad view of the client from a social work standpoint.
So
yes.
A last question for you. Do you get referrals from discharge officers at hospitals? How do people
get referrals? I get referrals from social workers, from physical therapists, from senior centers, from
right.
All kinds of, organizations like synagogues, churches, other seniors. Seniors end up speaking to each other in the waiting room of a doctor's office, and they have recommended me.
Right. Okay, so we're good. Stu, what is the other, I'm just talking to the producer, what's the other guest today? Is the bus people or? Oh, railroad. Okay, very good. Okay, so we're going to start the show. We can start now. And, Martin, you're going to hear the music. You're going to hear me introduce the show. I'm going to do a little bit about New Year's resolutions and brain challenges, okay? And then
yes.
I'm going to introduce you, okay?
Thank you.
I'm ready to go. Now we're quiet for a while.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles.
When I look in the mirror, I see hair.
On his head and not his shoulders, and when you hear that little ditty, you know that this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And this is Adrian Berg, and this is our national show, bringing all the information that you need for successful aging. And you know that we are the winner of the 2015, that's last year, what have you done for me lately, but the 2015 National Mature Gold Media Award. And for 2016, we are up for the Gracies. That's really a major award. I have been at those award celebrations, and it looks a lot like the Oscars. So I'm very excited. I don't know whether or not we'll win, but we are up for it. And we have a wonderful show today, and the kind of show we have today is probably why we win the awards. It's information that you would never get, or even if you did have this information, you might never use, without people like our listeners getting together on our website, sending photos, sending pictures, our wonderful guests sending us articles, so that we all become a community. And don't forget, there is a community for you out there, and that is GenerationBoldRadio.com. GenerationBoldRadio.com. You can hear this show archived on that website. You can see photos of some wonderful people over the age of 55 up to over the age of 100 and what they're doing these days, everything from bungee jumping to going to Africa to teach English. And you can get inspired. You can even get hired. Let's hear how you want to live your life, because there's a wonderful section there called Ask Adrian. And if you have questions about your health, about your money, about your family relationships or work or entrepreneurship, or simply any aspect of successful aging, we can help, because we have the golden Rolodex of people who are really experts in the field. And you're going to hear about two of them, hear from two of them today. And before I introduce my first guest, I just want to give you a little bit of a brain challenge. I know you're all on this kick of still not giving up on your New Year's resolutions, and you all want to do cognitive fitness exercises. That's what I hear from you all the time. Which is the best cognitive fitness? Well, it's very similar, actually, to physical fitness. If you just take little moments in your day and try something new, you will forge new brain cell connections. The brain is plastic, just like the body. If you keep lifting weights, you'll form a muscle. But if you do a lot all at once and then forget about it, it's not going to work. So, for example, what do you do to build a new brain cell? You do something you've never done before, whatever that may be. If you have a picture on your wall, hang it upside down and really look at it. Take a different route to work or to the store. If you have a bicycle and you know how to ride a bike, ride it every once in a while instead of leaving it there. Oh, you think that's physical? No, it's also mental, because you have to get your balance in order. Funny one, eat a bite or two of dinner and close your eyes at the same time. Listen to a completely new kind of music. You hate music for young kids? That's exactly the kind of music you should be listening to for a while. So it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that you can simply do something different. Don't tell me that you're doing crossword puzzles, because I know you know how to do crossword puzzles, and you're very good at it. So try something brand new. All right, now let's talk about something brand new, and that is certified aging in place contractors or specialists. You might have heard of that, you might not, but we have one of the leading CAPS individuals with us right on the show. His name is Martin Grossman. This is a fellow who doesn't just talk the talk, he walks the walk. He actually goes in to homes to help people be able to age in place. And he has his certification. We're going to explain what that is so that you know what you're looking for in a CAPS in your locality. Some of the things that Martin does that may open your eyes to the things that you may need in your home, or for the large number of people listening who are caregivers or who have a loved one that might be coming out of a hospital or is a little bit older, ways to keep people safe in their home so they don't need a facility, so there are no crises, and so they can really thrive. That's what you want from your certified aging in place specialist or contractor. So, Martin, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Adrian. I thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, you know, people love to have individuals with a name you know, somebody wrote a book, but it doesn't help people in their life the way somebody like you can do, Martin. Explain to people how you became a certified aging in place contractor. What, so that if somebody comes to their door pretending to be one, they know what kind of credentials to ask for.
Okay, I've taken courses from the National Association of Home Builders. And they train you how to do home modifications for the senior or for the handicapped. And besides giving you this training, you have to pass certain tests. There are written tests that you have to take. And you also learn the terminologies that are used in these modifications and the solutions for the senior. In other words,
you don't need a
complete renovation.
That's very important, because two things that happen when people go to CAPS that are phony, not real certified aging in place, is they overdo it, becomes very expensive for them. Sometimes they even go into debt for it. Or they get people who don't know what they're doing. So as Martin Grossman is telling you, see their certification. There is such a thing. You don't just show up and say, I'm very good with seniors. No. I have seen something terrible, Martin, and I'm going to tell it to you, and then we can talk about how you do things. I've seen people put in grab bars and not reinforce them in the back. Then somebody falls. That bar comes right off in their hand, and they get more hurt because of the bar.
The other thing that I don't recommend, and I see a lot of other suction grab bars, they're very dangerous.
Right. So now, let's talk. Somebody has been discharged from a hospital, and they call Martin Grossman. What are some of the things that you do?
Well, I do a complete overlook or a safety check of the home. I specialize in home safety repairs. I have worked for over 30 years for a couple of different social service agencies doing repairs for seniors in the past. And besides grab bars, I do stair treads. I make sure that the windows can lock. A lot of these new replacement vinyl windows warp, and the senior thinks they're locked, and they're not. They're a quarter of an inch above the lock. So they get drafts because the window is not fully closed, and they have no security because anyone can open the window and come in. I usually have to force these closed in the fall for the winter so that they interlock. That's one of the problems with the vinyl windows. The senior's not strong enough to lock them because they don't line up exactly. I do all kinds of things like louder doorbells, strobe lights on the telephone for people that are hard of hearing, door locks, light timers, which are very important, sensor lights,
Let's walk into the kitchen for a minute, because you were telling me that one of the problems for people who are not in a wheelchair is that they still may not have good hand strength. They can't even put on the water. What can you do for them?
Okay, a lot of the new faucets are lever-controlled, and all new faucets for the past 8 or 10 years have lifetime warranties where all the parts are available from the manufacturer, and if they're not, the manufacturer will send you a replacement complete faucet. The lever-type faucets are very easy to use, and they have a long lever. And they also have, for the kitchen, the extended spout with the flex hose for washing pots and so on. But even if the senior cannot reach the faucet, I can build them a little platform to stand on, or we can get an electronically controlled faucet.
And that's very interesting, electronically controlled faucets. Before we have to take our break, you did also say that you have heat controls or stove controls. What's that all about?
Okay, anti-scald devices are used, and they can be either installed on the faucet or on the water heater or at the water heater, so that when someone gets in the shower or the bathtub, they don't get burnt, or when they're washing dishes, they don't burn their hands. Also, I also do modifications for people who have a spouse or a family member with dementia. So I also basically childproof the house for dementia victims.
You know,
and there are many products for that.
And one of the things we're going to do when we come back is we're going to look into some of those, but we're also going to go take a trip to the bathroom. It's been a joke that the baby boomer loves their bathroom more than they love their kitchen. And when you get older, sometimes independence comes down to how good your bathroom is. We all know that even if we have insurance, long-term care insurance, the very first thing that goes is the ability to bathe, the ability to toilet, they call it. And then you get you can collect on your insurance. Why? Because when people become disabled, even if it is temporary, right out of a hospital, it's often because they cannot use the bathroom, and Martin Grossman and other CAPS professionals, certified aging-in-place contractors, can help you do that. I'm going to show you exactly how to do that safely and economically so that you don't have to move. This is Generation Bone.
That doesn't bother me, not even a bit,
don't you go anywhere.
Because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so we're off the air. So you see how that's going, Martin?
Yes, yes. This is not the first time I've been on, and I've also taken courses in broadcasting. So.
Okay, good. So it's very easy for you. I could see that. So we're just going to keep doing that. We're going to go on to the next thing that's going to be the bathroom, right?
Yes.
You talked a little bit about scams and so on. Are there any other ones other than pretending that they know what they're doing that people should look out for?
Yes. Well, one of the biggest scams is chimney repair.
Ah.
Chimney is a big rip-off area, and they get a widow living alone, children not around, and they sell her a big job. Oh, your chimney needs relining or so on and so forth. It's dangerous. It should be done immediately, and they get ripped off for that. That's one of the big scams.
Good. Now, is there anything else that you want me to cover in particular?
Well, safety. Safety mm-hmm. means any kind of thing. Like, I do washing machine burst-proof hoses. Simple thing like a hose could burst and do thousands of dollars of damage.
Wow. Okay. I think we're good. And as you say, you know what you're doing, so we're not having any trouble filling time. Okay?
Yes.
What I'd like to start with, though, is contact information. So let me tell you, we're heard in a lot of states, and, we're not local. But because it's on an app, which I'm going to tell people about, it's possible for people in your area to hear the show and to go to you. So I want to tell people what your area is and any contact information that you want to give them, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, and again, I'm going to start with a little piece that has nothing to do with you, as I always do, and then go to you. Stuart?
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy.
I'm inappropriate for my age, and I bet you are too if you're listening to this show. My name is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Go take a look at GenerationBoldRadio.com, and that little ditty comes from a 10-minute musical written especially for us by a musical composer and lyricist from Broadway, and I won him. I won him at an auction, a Broadway auction. And his prize was that he'll write a 10-minute musical on any subject. And I said, write it on aging. And boy, did he make a bad face because he was 30 years old. But he did it. And it's a wonderful musical. So go to GenerationBoldRadio.com. And before we go back to Martin Grossman and we take a trip to the bathroom with him, I just want to tell you that there's some new research out that I would like you to know about. We talked a little bit about making the brain stronger, but one of the things that is getting misdiagnosed, and in a way that's a good type of thing, is too many people are getting Alzheimer's diagnoses or dementia diagnoses when they actually don't have that. Now, it's good that they don't have it, but it's bad that they're being misdiagnosed. And what is being detected and being looked at right now at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine is ADHD. In older adults and people over the age of 60. Now, I sit on a board for caregivers with the Johns Hopkins, brilliant doctors. And they really are the best when it comes to trying to piece out what happens to the brain as you age. You may have had ADHD, like the kids have, and they're taking the Ritalin, all your life, but because nobody looked at that when you were a kid 50 years ago, you were never diagnosed. Now that you're older, it's going to be even worse, but people look at you and say, well, the guy is 60, 70, 80 years old, he must have dementia, or even early onset Alzheimer's, when in fact, you're hyper ADHD. So make sure that if you are concerned about your memory, short-term memory loss comes from that, inability to focus comes from that, poor driving comes from that, a lot of symptomology for people who have more serious issues, not that that's not a serious issue, but dementia and Alzheimer's, it looks like it, but it isn't it, and it gets treated very, very differently. So check that out in your own self. And by the way, Grandpa, Grandma, if your children, your grandchildren have been diagnosed with ADHD, it's hereditary. So Grandpa may have it as well. All right. Now, speaking of that, I want to go back with Martin Grossman. I do want to talk about the bathroom, which is the most important room in the house for being able to age in place. But then we'll go on, Martin, to something you said in the first topic, which was first top of the hour, which was about safeguarding for people that actually do have dementia. But let's start with the bathroom first. I know that when somebody comes out of the hospital particularly, they may just simply feel helpless, and I know that some of the things that you do can keep them safer and more independent. Let's just talk about the details
yes.
of what you can do in the bathroom.
This goes for all people, not just people that are seniors, but the bathroom, since everything is a hard surface, is the most dangerous room in the house. And if you fall there, you could split your head open, and so on and so forth, and it's very, very dangerous. So especially for seniors or someone that is infirm, I do grab bars in the shower, in the bathtub area, and near the toilet, so near the doorway, so these people have something to grab onto, because most bathrooms have a slippery surface on the walls, wall tile, and someone may grab a towel rack, and that pulls right out of the wall. It's not something to grab onto. So I put in regular grab bars that are screwed into the wall studs so they won't pull out. I don't recommend the suction-type grab bars that you can buy at the surgical supply or the drugstore or through a mail-order catalog, because those do not hold. They give you false security. I also put on clamp-on grab bars for people that live in apartments, and the landlord may not want you to drill holes in the wall. They have specialized clamp-on grab bars that go onto the tub, and they're high, not the little low ones. They're high so you can step over, and they have multi-levels to them because their bar curves around. Non-skid floor mats are very important, as is raised toilets. I can do a complete replacement of toilets to a higher level, or put in a spacer, but not the kind that loosen, that just clamp on. I put in ones that bolt on, and they look nice. They look like part of the toilet, because above them, the regular toilet seat mounts, so that if a guest comes, he doesn't have to remove anything, and they're also much easier to clean. Faucets also, I could put in faucets with extended levers for ease of use, and all kinds of other things, better lighting. Make sure that there's a ground fault interrupter so that no one gets electrocuted. The National Electric Code specifies that within 5 feet of a sink or a water outlet, you must have a GFI receptacle. Those are those receptacles with the little button, the reset button on them. Make sure that they have not using dangerous stuff like an electric heater in the bathroom, which could cause electrocution and or burns. And if they do use something of a heavy nature like a heater, that the proper extension cord is used with it.
Now, one of the things you did mention was the idea that you said it very specifically, and I want to explain what Martin said because it's important. What he said was, if somebody is living in a home and a spouse has dementia, I will go ahead and I can childproof the home and that sort of thing. So I want to point out the scenario that he's really, the picture he's painting. if somebody has true dementia or Alzheimer's, they cannot thrive in the home by themselves after a certain period of time in life. It's just not a possibility, and we've talked about secure facilities, the best kind of places for people with that if they really are truly alone. But as Martin points out, there are many people that have devoted spouses or children that live with them that could thrive even with dementia as long as they're safe. So I don't want to give you the impression that if you are alone and you have Alzheimer's, we can fix up the home for you and you can age in place. But if you have a person with you, you can. So, Martin, how would you help the caregiver? What would you suggest to the caregiver?
I have taken training from the New Jersey Institute of Technology Architecture Department on dementia-proofing the home for dementia victims and their caregivers to give them both peace of mind. Door alarms, special door locks, special stove locks, gates at the top of stairways so if they wander at night they don't go tumbling down the stairway. All kinds of things, including contrasting toilet seats so they find the toilet and use the toilet instead of the bathtub, or in some cases a tape stripe from their bed directly to the toilet so that they can find the toilet. Those in extreme cases. And also the fact that, this is usually a temporary situation. Eventually these people may have to be moved to a facility.
That's true. That's what I was saying, Well, you know what? One of the things that I want everybody to know about is where to find Martin. Martin, give us your contact information.
Okay. My name is Marty Grossman, my phone number is 973-324-0429. And my email address is mgmarty@aol.com.
Well, thank you so much. I know that we're running out of time, but I want everybody to know that that will also be, with his permission, on our website as well. So thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We'll be back in a moment. We're going to take a trip.
For my age, da-da-da-da.
Can I still talk to Martin for a minute? Hi, Martin. How are you? I'm back.
Fine. Very nice to meet you.
That was great. Before you finish, I know you wanted to say one other item before our music started. What was it in terms of the content information?
The New York metropolitan area. In other words, New Jersey and New York.
Okay, fine. So we'll have that on the website. Now, is there anything that you have written or would like us to put on our blog?
Yes, I can email you that.
Good. So let me give you my email address. Or do you already have it? Because you may have been going back and forth.
I have the Adrian Berg address, and I have Generation Bold address.
Use Adrian G. Berg at gmail.com.
Okay. Are you located on the West Coast? Or
No. I'm here in Tewksbury, New Jersey.
Oh, okay. I used to work in Warren County in Washington, so I know Tewksbury.
So I also do
a lot of work in the Flemington area.
Right. That's our area. So it's Adrian G. Berg. It's Adriane G-B-E-R-G at gmail.com.
When will this show be aired?
When is it aired, Stuart? Sunday morning, 10 o'clock our time, but you probably can't hear it except if you go online, and online will say listen live, and it'll show you how to listen live or even from your phone.
Yes, I have done that already. Is it on any broadcast radio stations?
Oh, yeah, it's on 34 different broadcast radio stations, but not in our area.
There's none in New Jersey, in southern New Jersey?
No, the only one that we're doing there is on WTCT radio, which is 1450 on your dial. And if you can hear that, let me know, because we may be able to do another half-hour show with you just on WTCT.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
All right. Wait a minute. My producer says I'm telling it to you wrong. It's WCTC 1450.
Okay, WCTC. Where is that station located?
And that's located, Stuart, where's Somerset? But it's
Somerset. I can get that.
but it's heard in several others, other counties.
Yes, I used to listen to that, yes.
Good. So keep in touch, and I'm going on to my next guest, and I will thank Ron for giving the referral, okay?
One quick question. Will it be on WCTC on Sunday?
No. That one won't be. That's why we'll do another show. We can do it just a half hour on it.
Okay.
So this worked out very well. I liked it very much.
Thank you. I liked it, too. Thank you very much.
Good. Have a great week.
You too. Bye now.
Take care.
Bye.
You ready for me? Bruce, are you with me?
Yeah, Adrian, I am here.
How are you, Mr. Becker?
Doing very well, thank you.
Good, we're not on the air yet. I just want to tell you, you know, the way our show works, I know you've been on others. I will introduce you.
Sure.
We're going to have a little bit of music that you'll hear, and I'll do a little bit of information that doesn't have to do with our discussion. And then I will introduce you, and we'll talk about the things that you want to bring up. Now, what points, first I want to explain that our listeners, although this is a show for the mature audience, our listeners are not so mature. They're baby boomers.
Yeah.
And they travel a lot. And the other thing they do is they do a lot of intergenerational travel.
Sure.
So,
okay. Yep.
I can. And, you know, director of special projects. So you could talk about projects that are coming up. You can talk about railroad itinerary design when you're an independent traveler, any of these things. What particular points would you like to bring up?
Well, I want to talk about our organization, but also certainly talk about how folks can take advantage of traveling on Amtrak in the Northeast around the country, all sorts of things like that. So I don't think we'll have any problem covering all sorts of interesting topics for your listeners.
Sure. Now, one of the sticky topics, though, is safety, and I don't mean safety on the railroad. I now have, you know, we do a travel show, too, and we have so many, a strictly travel show. We have a lot of people saying they're not traveling because they're scared. I think that you want to talk about how safe the railroads are and how much vigilance there is in domestic railroad travel.
Sure.
I had somebody just the other day tell me they're not going to Europe for the rest of their life. I mean, we're very committed to people traveling anywhere and everywhere they want, feeling free.
Right.
So you'll hear me say that, and then I think you should put your 2 cents in about the safety of it, okay?
Absolutely. Be happy to cover that.
Good. Okay. We're ready in one moment. Okay, I'm ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello again, and this is Adrian Berg, and this is the Fountain of Truth. The Fountain of Truth about what? About aging. And we're all doing it. We all have to do it, but we don't have to grow old. And that is our motto. Successful aging is really up to you. It's like any other kind of achievement. If you focus on it, it will flourish. And one of the things that we talk about all the time is keeping our body and our mind and our spirit up. And I'm always looking for credible studies. Now, because we can say any old thing about, you know, eat broccoli, think good thoughts, have an attitude of gratitude. I mean, you're sick and tired of this stuff. But here's something that actually works. Study after study. I won't bore you with them, but we have plenty on our website, generationboldradio.com. Shows two things that actually lower your blood pressure, have measurable results in people not getting dementia and in living longer. One of them is dancing. So like the song says, when life gives you a chance, get out and dance. Another one is volunteering for a local charity. Believe it or not, becoming a docent almost anywhere will do that. Helping out at a school. But apropos of our guest right now. The other one is, are you ready, folks? Exploring a new city. So if you're exploring a new city, how are you going to get there? Bruce Becker knows. He's the director of special projects of the National Association of Railroad Passengers. He's your advocate as a railroad passenger. So, Bruce Becker, thank you so much for being on our show today.
It's great to be with you, Adrian. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm not sure people know that there is a National Association of Railroad Passengers. Tell us about the association.
Sure. We were founded in 1967 by a small group of interested citizens who at that time were very concerned that the American passenger train was going the way of the dinosaurs.
Uh-huh.
And they banded together and were instrumental in helping force the federal government to recognize that rail passenger travel and trains in general were a necessity for the country. And they helped help craft and formulate the legislation that ended up being the creation of Amtrak, National Railway Passenger Service, in 1971. We today have over 28,000 members across the country who support our efforts. We are based in Washington, D.C., and we work to educate our elected officials on Capitol Hill on the importance of passenger rail service around the country, not just in the Northeast Corridor, but across the country. And we help shape federal policy and help shape federal funding policy to help improve and expand passenger rail service.
All right, so that's very, very needed. And, you know, we're heard in places like Texas and the Midwest, and places where there are really, really only a train to get from one place to another because they don't have hub airports all the time. So, of course, it's extremely important in the lives of Americans, as well as the fact is that there is a nostalgia, a magic, a mystique about train travel. So what's the trend? What's trending right now among railroad passengers? Where do we want to go and how do we want to get there?
Well, ridership across the country, both on Amtrak and on the regional commuter carriers, continues to grow. Amtrak has had record ridership over a number of the past years, and that includes, as you talk about, trains that serve across the country in less populated areas. And certainly our riders and our members recognize the fact that transportation options in what sort of we call the flyover country out in the Great West, transportation options are diminishing if you don't want to drive or can't drive. Many cities no longer have air service, and many small communities no longer have bus service, and the train is the option to travel. We have many members who make use of train not just for recreational travel or discretionary travel, but for medical needs, traveling to doctor's appointments, traveling to hospitals. So it's a very important and vital part of the network. And particularly for mature audiences who, again, find the current air travel system daunting, scary, and not too user-friendly.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't going to ask this, but you just brought that up. What happens if you get sick on a train or if you're already going on a train and you're ill? Many airlines won't even take you if they see that you have an issue. But if you get on a train, is there any backup there in the event that somebody becomes ill?
Well, Amtrak certainly is vigilant that they won't take passengers who are readily. It might be a concern for others from a safety standpoint.
Right.
But Amtrak encourages passengers who might have special needs to bring a companion with them who can help with those special needs. And sort of to answer the question, though, certainly if you become ill on the train, Amtrak has procedures in place that would help with that, get you medical attention as might be appropriate from the nearest local support agency, whether that's fire or police along the route. And that happens a fair amount of the time.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And going back to trending, I had a wonderful trip. I went deliberately just to take the trip from the Cascades to in Washington State down to L.A. And it was 36 hours. I slept on the train. It was a wonderful experience. Are these scenic routes being protected, and are there ones that you particularly love personally?
Well, yes, the long-distance network trains, as we call them, which do travel longer distances and travel overnight, are a vital part of the national rail system. You connect the West Coast with the Midwest and Chicago hub, and onto the East Coast in the Northeast Corridor and other popular routes. And while they have been under attack for many, many years,
right,
among some members of Congress, fortunately, Amtrak is in the best position it has been in from a federal policy standpoint during its entire history. There's always the argument, do trains make money? Well, no transportation system makes money. Heavens knows the highway system does not. Airlines don't pay for their fully allocated costs, particularly when you look at the cost of airports, maintaining them, and the air traffic control system. Transportation is a vital national necessity, and we should look upon all the modes as that necessity in moving commerce, moving people around the country.
Yeah, so I'm very glad you're protecting those scenic routes because they're beautiful ones. And as I say, the one that I enjoyed the most was on the West Coast, but there's beauties on the East Coast as well, and everybody should know. But before we finish this segment, how should people, is it a website, how should people plan an itinerary? Because when you go to a tour packager for another country or even from the U.S., they're going to give you these beautiful pictures and so on. When I go to Amtrak, they give me a book that's black, you know, with schedules. And they say, here, make a nice trip out of this. But I know there are better ways. What can you suggest?
Right. Well, Amtrak has a very extensive program of packaged vacations that is offered through their Amtrak Vacations, I won't say subsidiary, but branch. That is a tour operator that specifically specializes in vacation packages and tourist packages that combine Amtrak as the transportation with a number of great destinations around the country. And that information can be accessed from the Amtrak website. There is a button to go directly to Amtrak Vacations, and that takes you to all that great information. Indeed, though, Adrian, you spoke about the fact that Amtrak does have a national schedule, which is both printed and is online, that lists all their services around the country. So, you know, some people like to do their own planning. That's a great way
right.
to do that. Others, of course, like to have assistance from others, and Amtrak Vacations is the route to go for that.
Okay, so what is the general Amtrak website to send everybody to?
Right, so the general Amtrak website is very simple, www.amtrak.com.
Wonderful. So you can't miss that one, Amtrak.com, and then you can go to Amtrak Vacations, get your package vacations, get your schedules, do it on your own, become an independent traveler. And, you know, one of the things that we do want to do is we want to keep people traveling. We don't want them to be frightened about it. We want them to go out and live the life they love. When we come back, we're going to be talking about safety, a variety of kinds of safety in passenger travel. We're going to be talking about intergenerational travel, and some of the special projects that's on Bruce Becker's plate. He's the director of special projects for the National Association of Railroad Passengers. And remember, they're your advocate. These are an association of people who love and want to maintain our railroad system. In my life, it's for travel. In other people's lives, it's for necessity. We come back, we'll talk about a lot more about that. And one of the things I want you to do is go to Ask Adrian on GenerationBoldRadio.com. And if there is an itinerary you're interested in, whether it's domestic, whether it's railroad, whether it's the buses, whether it's the airlines or another country, we have resources like Bruce Becker who can help or lead us to the information that you need that might be hard to get anywhere else. That's why we're here. Don't you go away. We're going to be on the rail.
Not even a bit,
just a bit.
I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, so that was very good. We're going to go into the a little bit about the safety and the intergenerational.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Oh, are there any particular projects that you want to mention? Or any other items you want to bring up?
Yeah, I mean, from a project standpoint, well, that's my title.
Right.
We don't need to go too far down that road or okay. down that track, no pun intended. I certainly would want to provide information about our organization, which we can do at the end of the segment, of course.
Sure.
So.
Well, we'll do that almost. We'll do that up front because
yeah.
we don't want to run
sure.
out of time on that one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Are there anything, how can I... Is there anything that you're advocating for now that you would like to see happen?
Well, I will address that. As always, it is having everybody understand the importance of rail in the national transportation system. I'll
do
talk
you
about it like that.
From a consumer point of view, do you want to talk about food? And is there anything new going on there? Because I thought that the information on the packaged tours was extremely important. You know, it's direct. They know how to
right.
do it now and all that. They may not have realized that there were even packages.
Yeah.
So I like to talk on the for them, so they can go and take a trip.
So, sure. We can talk about food. We can talk about anything like that. I can certainly talk a little bit more about some of the great routes. I mean, I would highlight one long distance and one out of the Northeast, perhaps, if you want to do that
perfect.
Too. Great
okay.
things to do.
That's what I will do. Let's
yeah.
I'm ready to go.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Well, this has been terrific. I want to finish up our show. We have a nice segment here because I know that you people are planning your trips. And sometimes you don't think about railroad. It's just not on your radar, and it should be, because the amount of potential to see this country while you're sitting and look and getting someplace, is there's no place like it. There's no other way to do that. So we're here with Bruce Becker. He's the Director of Special Projects, National Association of Railroad Passengers. And also, we told you how to get to Amtrak. We told you how to get to the package tours and the independent itineraries. But, Bruce, tell everybody how to get to the National Association of Railroad Passengers.
Well, we are always on the, interested in having more folks join our cause, which supports our efforts here in Washington to expand rail service. NARP has a great website, which is narprail.org. Very easy to go to, and that brings up all the current issues that we're working on, both to educate our legislators around the country on a federal, state, and local basis, and also highlights many of the discounts that members of NARP can obtain. Senior citizen memberships for NARP are $25 a year, and regular memberships for only $35 a year, and they provide a wealth of travel discounts then.
Members
can join online.
Yeah, it's important to know that there are discounts here, that there are advocacy opportunities here. Don't just collect trains, ride on them. That's what I have to say. And speaking
absolutely.
Of riding on them, yeah, you mentioned that there were some beautiful trips, some going out of the Northeast, some others that you wanted to highlight for people. Go ahead. Whet our
sure.
appetite.
Sure. Well, easy to do. I think probably Adrian, you spoke about going from Seattle down to Los Angeles. I was on
yeah.
that train last month between Los Angeles and San Francisco. You go along the Pacific Coast, as you saw, for over 120 miles. It's the train and the Pacific Ocean. Unbelievable, breathtaking scenery. But my favorite longer distance trip is on the California Zephyr, which is the train that runs between the Bay Area and Chicago. That train goes through the Sierra Nevada mountains. You see Bonner Pass and Bonner Lake of great historical significance to the west. You then go through Salt Lake City. You travel through the Rockies, an amazing view. You then end up in Denver and can continue on Chicago or vice versa. Probably one of the most scenic routes on the longer distance trains in the country. Here in the Northeast.
How long is that, Bruce?
From Chicago to the Bay Area is 2.5 days.
Two
nights on the train. Though many folks do break that up. You could take a trip from Chicago to Denver, get off, spend a couple of days, explore Denver, a great city, get back on the train, go through the Rockies, perhaps go to Salt Lake City and explore everything that's available there. And that's what many folks do, particularly who have discretionary time.
Yeah, beautiful.
The other trip here in the Northeast that we certainly advocate and think people should try is the Adirondack train, which operates between New York City and Montreal on a daily basis. That train heads north out of New York along the Hudson River as far as Albany. You'll see great sites like West Point, Bear Mountain, and again, you're right on the river. You see as much as anybody on the water would see. North of the capital region of New York State, you then travel along Lake Champlain for over 100 miles en route to the Canadian border and into the great international city of Montreal. That's a great destination for weekend trips. You can take the train on a Friday up, spend a couple of days in Montreal. You feel like you're in Europe, take the train back down to New York City.
And by the way, FYI, since we do a travel show and we have travelers, the loonie, the Canadian dollar, is terrible. So everybody's going to Canada. I get daily information from Ontario, from Montreal, saying, come up here, because we are the ones that can give you the best value right now. So take the train, go to Montreal, stay in a 4 or 5 star hotel for pennies on the dollar, because you're using U.S. dollars, eat well, go back on the train. What a trip, right, Bruce?
Fantastic. Absolutely. And Amtrak's offering a special weekend, winter weekend promotion from New York City to Montreal on weekends. It's only $90 round trip per person. You can't beat that.
Well, I'm going to go pack it. I'm not kidding. You really can't beat that. Before we leave, though, I do want to ask you about food. I mentioned food in Montreal, but what about food on the train?
Well, that's one of the advantages of Amtrak versus the airlines. Certainly on the trains in the Northeast that operate in the corridors in the Northeast, out of Chicago and the West, the vast majority of those trains all offer cafe service where you can go and purchase no snacks, sandwiches, and beverages. The longer distance trains that operate overnight all still include dining cars where you can get on, have a table, sit down, you're served, and you have a selection of items available to you. The dining car experience is one of the great benefits of Amtrak travel. I have met so many wonderful people on eating meals on the dining car. It's one of those great societal benefits of Amtrak.
You know, last but not least, safety. Too many people are telling me they don't want to travel anymore, and there is definitely safety and vigilance on the railroads. I know that your association is part of that as well. Just give us a clue so that we feel better and we could just get on board.
Well, certainly safety is the focus of Amtrak. That is their number one goal, is provide a safe travel experience, as do all the other rail operators in the country. All the regional rail operators certainly focus on that, too. I never have hesitation on taking the train anywhere in the country. Amtrak does a very good job of behind-the-scenes screening of passengers, observation of passengers and trains, and we're very fortunate in our country that the transportation network is as safe as it is, both on the rails and on the highways, in the air and on the water. But Amtrak, we support fully, and they do a great job on safety.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for being with us, and I'm very serious. I had a couple of days that I've been toying with in terms of a weekend trip, and you just set it all out for me. I'm getting my $90 transportation from New York to Montreal, and I know it's a gorgeous trip, because if it's anything like I've experienced on Amtrak, it's unbeatable. It's one of those bucket list things that everyone should do. So thank you so much, Bruce, for being with us.
I appreciate it very much, and hope your listeners get out and travel. See the country.
I hope they do, and they get on your website. And if you love trains, this is the place for you to get involved. And for everybody else, remember that this is GenerationBoldRadio.com. You can hear us on 34 stations throughout the country. You can hear us on your phone, on an app, or on the website of GenerationBoldRadio.com. And we want to hear from you. You see Ask Adrian there. And you can ask me questions, because look at the kind of resources that we bring you. Really, no other show does. That's why we won this year's National Mature Media Gold Award. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, folks. And get out there, kids, and make it happen. Well, that was great. That was really good.
Well, so happy to be with you, Adrian. It sounded
I am
good on
too.
My end. Absolutely.
And that was a really good tip. Thank you. Right, take care.
Well, very good. Appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Wait, hold 1 second.
Okay,
because the producer is telling me not to hang up, but you can. All right, very good.
Okay. Okay,
thank
you. Take care, Adrian. Bye-bye.
on yet? Can I ask you a question? Did you not like 6 minutes space?
What?
I don't know what it is. I just
think so. Okay, the only thing, because you have no respect to the...
I know, but sometimes you do it like 4 minutes.
No.
And I don't know what it's about.
Because it's just me acknowledging what I came in to see. I don't have the clock in there.
Oh.
So I have to run in and see. And see.
That's not a question. It's a rally, right?
I don't know. Yeah, that's...
Martin Grossman could be a good half hour. Assemblyman?
Yes, this is Jack Chitterelli.
Hi, how are you? I wanted to be sure I say your name properly. It's Chitterelli.
No, you
correct?
Said it perfectly. Now, who am I speaking with?
Okay, this is Adrian Berg, and let me
tell you
how our show goes. Hi. We met for about 30 seconds at the Chabad on ice in December.
Yep.
And we've had Leonard Lance on. You were with him, actually, when we met, so we had a chance to shake hands that day.
Yes.
Our show is a local show. It's half an hour. You'll be on the whole half hour. I only take one or two breaks to announce our company. Supports this, and also it is heard several times. Really, the official time is 7 to 7:30 Saturday mornings on WCTC 1450 AM. Do you know the station at all?
Sure, I do. Yeah.
Okay, good. And then they replay it. So we will be introducing you very quickly, and we'll be getting into the topics that you want to get into. So before we go on, what are the topics that you would like me to cover and ask you questions on?
Well, yeah, I think certainly the constitutional amendment to make the full pension payments.
Okay.
And also the discussion over North Jersey casino revenues.
Uh-huh. Good.
And then, of course, school funding.
Keep going.
And, of course, school funding is always a very, very important issue.
Okay. So I might slip that and start with that one first. Is that okay?
Which one?
The school funding.
Okay.
Right. And then we'll go on to the constitutional amendment and the pensions, and then we will go on to, at that point, things are going to take us to a few different directions.
Okay. I do hope. I mean, I think right now, and I'm not being critical of the order that you've picked, unless you want to save the most pertinent and
is the amendment,
the hottest issues for last.
Okay. All right. So let's put it in the order.
I don't have a problem discussing school funding first, as long as we get to the other two, which seem to be really, really hot issues.
All right. So you want to do the constitutional amendment first, and what would be the second one that you want to do?
Certainly North Jersey casinos, which I think provides a nice lead into school funding because I do connect the two.
Okay, that does.
Yeah, and then last, I don't know what type of, I've also spoke about it, the need for tax restructuring. We really need to overhaul New Jersey's tax code.
I think we should be okay because we don't have any commercials except the one or two, and I'm not going to do any other topics. We'll go right to you. Okay, so I am ready, so we'll be quiet.
Okay. And are you the host, Adrian?
Yes.
Very good.
Oh, let me just introduce myself a little bit. I'm a resident of Tewksbury.
Okay.
And
Sean is, yeah.
Right.
I know your former mayor up there well. Yeah.
I know Sean well from the Tewksbury Trail Association.
Mm-hmm.
But my work is twofold. One, I'm a broadcaster, and we have a national radio show called Generation Bold Radio.
Yep.
And I am also a financial advisor. Our main headquarters are in Parsippany with Ronald Gielak and Associates. You're going to hear ads for that. But I've been on the air since 1988, television and radio. hosting mostly financial shows. All right?
Yep.
So that's my background. My background is financial journalism and financial gerontology and that sort of thing. And this particular show is just one of the many radio shows that I do, but it happens to be local. And everybody, I'm finding there's a lot of listeners who really respond to when we bring on people who can affect their life, like you. So,
well,
that's good.
Yeah, very good.
Okay. All right, I'm ready. Now I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to get countdown. Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is the Ronald Gelock Retirement Power Hour. And every single drive time on Wednesdays from 6 to 7, we give you financial information that you can use. But on our weekend show, we bring you the people who really can affect your life. And we try to make those people local, people that are meaningful to you and how you and your family will thrive in this area. And I really can't think of anybody who's got more and fits that bill more than Assemblyman Jack Cittarelli, District 16. And he's got a lot to talk about. He has a lot of issues that he wants to discuss, and he wants you to understand them. And I want to go right into that right now because there is a lot on your mind and certainly a lot on our Assemblyman's mind. So I know one of the things that I have to say right at the beginning is thank you for taking some of your time. It's really generous of you.
Oh, not at all, Adrienne. Thank you very, very much for the opportunity and also for the very, very kind introduction. I hope I can live up to that expectation.
Well, you kind of do every day, and one example is you taught me that on the minds of our listeners is a constitutional amendment that would ensure pensions. And, you know, we do seminars all over the state on pension and Social Security insecurity. So tell us about the amendment and where you stand on it.
Well, every legislator, and including the governor, wants to make the pension payment. The question is how best to do that in fairness to all parties. And the constitutional amendment that was passed on Monday that was proposed by the Democratic leadership and passed along party lines, with all due respect to that leadership and my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, is possibly the worst public policy proposal I've seen in the 4 years I've been in the legislature. This will cripple New Jersey economically. And it is not the way to go about making the full pension payment or reforming pensions. This really will be an economic disaster for New Jersey.
So if you could tell us the number one flaw that you see, let's understand that, and then let's understand what you would propose instead.
So let's talk about the policy part of it first and then the economic aspect of it second. The policy part of it, of all the various expense lines in our $33 billion state budget, this would now be the only constitutionally guaranteed expense. So we are now going to make a constitutionally guaranteed payment based on an economic assumption of how New Jersey's economy is going to grow. That is a disaster. It's a recipe for disaster. And if this is going to be on the ballot in November, and the people of New Jersey, in the goodness of their hearts, think they're doing the right thing by voting for this, we will now have pensions as a constitutionally guaranteed expense line in our state budget. And if the economy doesn't grow the way that the Democrats are assuming it's going to grow, and I think that's a very, very bad assumption. It could cause a sequestration, if you will, like we've seen in Washington,
right,
where a whole bunch of other things would need to be cut. And it just seems terribly wrong to me to constitutionally guarantee a payment based on, one, an assumption, and two, to put that expense ahead of all others that we're responsible for in New Jersey, like hospital aid, like aid for the poor, the disabled, senior citizens, and so on and so forth.
And so it seems like a great flaw is its inflexibility, the pressure that it would put on other needs, and the inability to foresee the future, locking in the future in the present. So
right,
those are scary, clearly scary.
And you know, first let's get down to the hard numbers of it. Within 5 years, the actuarial pension payment that would be constitutionally guaranteed would be close to $6 billion. Right now, we budget $1 billion. That means within 5 years, we need to come up with an additional $5 billion in revenues. The economy is supposedly going to grow to the tune of providing $5 billion additional dollars to make this constitutionally guaranteed payment. This is really a recipe for disaster. It has implications for every New Jerseyan. And as I said, it's some of the worst public policy proposed that I've seen since I've been in Trenton.
Well, you know, I have to jump to taxes. We'll talk about it a little bit later on, but I can't help feel that if you have to meet that nut, so to speak, and the economy doesn't grow, there's only one other place to get the money from. And notoriously, New Jersey is not a tax-favored place to live when you compare it to the rest of the country. When we look at retirement, one of the major reasons people do want to leave the state is the taxes. So if this can be a lever for higher taxation, it's an important thing for people to realize. I do think that you're right, that people do want pensions to be safe. And even if it is the next guy's pension, what are our alternatives with regard to that?
Here are our alternatives. First of all, the pension and post-retirement health care benefit are still too generous. Now, we are going to honor those obligations for those people who are currently retired. We should honor those obligations for those people that are near retirement. But there are reforms that we can do to these benefits and other reforms that we can do on issues like school funding to provide us the money we need to make the pension trust solvent. And examples of that are every school district having a skin in the game with regard to how much they fund schools through their local property tax levy. There are a number of cities that need to be, I use the term de-abbotized.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that we need to do, in my opinion, is all those with 10 years or less in the system, or all new hires, need to be in a defined contribution plan like a 401k. We can no longer afford to define the benefit with people living into their 80s and 90s. We can no longer afford to define the benefit when people's retirement years are longer than their working years. And the other thing that we need to do is if your pension plus your Social Security, and by the way, an employer contributes to Social Security too, so that is a tax that is an expense that taxpayers fund.
Yes.
If your pension plus your Social Security exceeds a certain amount, you'll be on your own with regard to things like Medicare Part B, which is a huge expense as part of the post-retirement health care benefit. These kinds of things produce the financial flexibility and the revenues we need to get the pension payment to about $3 to $4 billion a year and make the pension trust solvent. So it really boils down to, Adrian, we need to decrease the current expense, we need to increase the current payment, and we need to change dramatically the long-term liability. Doing those three things along the lines of what I've just suggested is the
right,
better way to go. Not making this a constitutionally guaranteed payment that's based on an assumption.
Well, you've made a good case, and it's a case that I know you're going to continue to make. I do want to take a very short break because it relates more to the work that we do than almost anything else I've ever had on this show. And then I want to talk about the possibility of revenues from the North Jersey casinos. Because we talked about where the money is going, maybe let's talk about where you think or don't think the money should be coming from. But I do want to remind you that this is one of the arms of Ronald Gelock & Associates. They are financial, in fact, not only financial planners, but registered investment advisors. We do seminars all over this area. Everywhere that you can hear the show, we have a wonderful either library seminar at one of our local libraries or a lunch and learn seminar or a dinner and learn live event. And one of the events we call the Four Pillars of retirement planning, one of them being your pension. And we're not at all sure that any pension is safe just because of what the Assemblyman is saying. We are living longer. How do we fund a retirement that's longer than our work life? So if you're interested in knowing what's going on in Social Security, I just came back from Washington, D.C., and the Washington Conference on Aging, with pensions, with private contracts, you're going to want to go to one of our free live events. How do you do it? You pick up a phone, 800-467-8152. 1-800-467-8152. And we will not be bringing you down, because when you leave, you may know the problems, but you'll also know the solutions. 800-467-8152. Now, Assemblyman, we're speaking with Assemblyman Jack Cittarelli, District 16, a very passionate guy about how to do things the right way. One of the issues that he wanted to bring up that I certainly want to discuss is the North Jersey casinos. I broadcast all over the country, including in many states that have casinos. We know the goods and the bads. How do you feel about it for our state?
First of all, I think most people have come to the conclusion that the existence of casinos in North Jersey is inevitable. Atlantic City's had a 30-year-plus reign. I think it's longer than that. And there are just market dynamics that are working against it as strictly a casino destination town. It needs to become more of a family resort-type town. So North Jersey casinos are inevitable. What disturbs me greatly about that which is being proposed, discussed, and it seems what will come to be, is that the fact that there will be two North Jersey casinos is not the issue for me. The issue for me is, why are we rewarding failure? We are, with the proposal that seems to be prevailing, we're going to be giving ownership of these North Jersey casinos to current Atlantic City operators. And that, to me, is just rewarding failure. We don't see, that's not the free market system. That's not free enterprise at work. So, again, why are we guaranteeing ownership in these North Jersey casinos to current Atlantic City operators? I really believe no matter what walk of life you engage in your professional side, nonprofit versus profit, public versus private sector, innovation is the key. And if you take a close look at Atlantic City, there's one particular operation that needs no help, the Borgata.
Right.
They have innovated, and they've got a great product, and they are doing extremely well. And because they don't rely just on the gambling aspect of their business. So, again, it disturbs me greatly that with these two new casinos that will seem to come to be in North Jersey, that current Atlantic City operators are virtually being guaranteed ownership in them and will be co-operators. I think the host community should just put out a request for proposal and entertain any and all that come in and then make a decision. That's how all other communities decide what kind of development takes place on a large scale within their municipal borders. So, the other thing that I think we're missing,
yeah,
I'm sorry, go ahead,
Adrian. I want to see if this is a done deal in that sense. I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying. Is there room for change? And will that come with failure first? Or is there still a possibility to point this in the right direction? Or even with the very operators that are planning to do this, have some oversight to be sure that what happened before doesn't happen again?
Well, that's very interesting you say that, because it does seem to me that we're doing exactly what we did wrong in Atlantic City by the way we're setting it up. And so I think this is what tends to happen when decisions are made in a vacuum. This decision seems to have been made very, very quickly, seems to be made at the midnight hour. It wasn't done in a collaborative way, collecting as many opinions as possible. And I think that also reflects itself in how the casino revenue taxes are going to be distributed. I really believe the host communities should collect 100% of the casino revenue taxes and be used to support their schools. That would free up hundreds of millions of dollars in Trenton that we could then allocate toward, guess what, pensions, so that we wouldn't be up against having to tax people more to make our pension obligations. So more than likely, you'll see one of these two casinos in North Jersey come to be in Jersey City. Jersey City is a city that receives more than $400 million a year in state aid from New Jersey taxpayers to take care of their schools. Why not have the casino revenue taxes go directly toward the Jersey City schools? That's that much less aid we now have to send Jersey City. We can keep that money in Trenton to meet our other obligations. So again, we're being bold in establishing North Jersey casinos, but we're not being creative and comprehensive in how we set up the whole financial arrangement, if you will.
Now, one of the things that you're bringing out, Assemblyman, for the listener and for your constituents and for the voter, is how organic these issues are. We're talking about a constitutional amendment that deals with securing pensions. We're talking about North Jersey casinos. We're talking about school funding. And they appear, and they're usually thought about as individual disparate decisions that have to be made, but they impact a lot on each other. And that is a kind of information that I think the average voter doesn't see. They don't see the connection between one item and another item. And I think it's wonderful that you do. And any way that we can assist you in showing people that connection, even infographically, could be very useful in decision-making at the polls, insofar as voters have any say in any of this. But, of course, you said the word tax a few times. So let's talk about tax reform, our tax code, and how any of these could impact taxation to our listeners.
Well, the other thing we really, really need to do in New Jersey is overhaul our tax code. When you really think about it, how is it we can't seem to make our pension obligation? We can't make it for two reasons. One is because the way our taxes are currently structured, and two, because in my opinion, it's way too generous. So we need to attack it in two ways. And on the tax side, we certainly need to make New Jersey's economy more dynamic. That's very, very hard to do when you have the income taxes that we do, the sales tax that we do, the property taxes that we do, the estate and transfer inheritance taxes that we do. And so I've been advocating for a total overhaul of the New Jersey tax code. There are ways for us to restructure our taxes that would allow us overnight to get rid of the estate tax, the inheritance taxes, to never tax the gain on the sale of a house or a second home if it's never been used for commercial purposes, to allow for the carry forward of capital losses, to not tax the gain on the sale of a family-owned business, and to increase our pension exclusions. If we were to do that by restructuring our taxes and not causing a water balloon effect in our budget, we would change the perception of New Jersey overnight. And see it, have people see it as a place where they should start a family-owned business, where entrepreneurs do want to do startups and IPOs. So those are the kind of things that I really believe we need to do to make New Jersey's economy much more dynamic.
You know, you'd be very interested in this. One of the things that we do is we do study economic philosophies and economic systems at Ronald Gaelic and Associates. And I've been writing way before I was associated with our sponsor, this firm. I've been writing, my first book on personal finance came out in 1980. So, and it's 14 of them. And I was listening and speaking with a fellow who wrote a book on the economics of the Austrian system. It's called the Austrian School of Economics. The number one thing that he said differentiated that thinking from what we do is the importance of the entrepreneur. He called the entrepreneur the history of the future, saying that if a state in the United States cannot support its entrepreneurs, it has a major problem. And you're saying exactly that, that there's you either have a deep-rooted philosophy that you do what's necessary to let business thrive, or you don't. And all the things that you ticked off allow business to thrive. But where is the pressure against that coming from? I know that there's resistance to that.
Well, I think that what we don't do enough in Trenton is just sit around and brainstorm about different ways to make the quality of life better in New Jersey. Every legislator should be 100% committed to making New Jersey a better place to live, work, and retire. And the recent annual study that came out of United Van Lines showed that New Jersey was number one in out-migration for the fourth consecutive year. And on the surface, one would think that that's all retirees and snowbirds that are moving to a warmer climate and escaping the estate tax. It's not. It's people between the ages of 25 and 55, people in the prime of their professional/earning years. These are the entrepreneurs of tomorrow. And right now, they're not picking New Jersey to live on. And when they're asked why they're moving, jobs, lifestyle, and taxes.
That's absolutely so. Now, you know, look, our personal experience is that we work with the older adults planning their retirement future. And the struggle that we have constantly as hands-on field force financial advisors is their children don't live near them. They grew up in New Jersey. They're all gone. Mine are in L.A. My best friends are in San Francisco, the kids. The opportunities were amazing. They're all very entrepreneurial people. And one of them has a $1 million startup, which could have happened in the state of New Jersey. There was absolutely no reason that could not have taken place here. So that's one of the things, just personal validation of what you're saying. The other thing is when we deal with the older adults, they look at the federal estate tax and they're home free. They look at the New Jersey estate tax and inheritance tax and they can't believe their eyes. And a lot of our job is to help them do what's necessary to legally pay as little estate tax as possible because it's very high in this state. And they, you know, when you get on the airline, they tell you there are other airlines. So thank you for staying with this one. There are other states to retire in, and some of them are snowbirds, assemblymen, leaving because of our taxes. So if you can make an inroad in that, that would be amazing.
Well, to Governor Christie, to his credit, that was one of the items he picked on specifically in his State of the State on Tuesday. And again, listen, we'll never be able to legislate our climate in New Jersey. That means we need to be all the more creative, innovative, and steadfast in our commitment to abolishing certain taxes, which, listen, I believe in a state tax at the federal level. I believe there is no place for an estate tax at the state level. New Jersey is one of only 16 states with an estate tax. It's one of only 6 with an inheritance tax. It's one of only 2 that has both. And it gets worse. Our threshold is unbelievably low. It's $675. Middle-class families who've got a 401k and a home have assets valued at more than $675. Nobody knows that better than you. And so not only is the threshold very low, but then once you get below it, we tax every single dollar of assets. You don't even get an exclusion on the first $675. Once you go over $675,000, every dollar gets taxed, and our tax rate is one of the highest. So, again, we've got to commit ourselves to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk in making New Jersey a better place to live, work, and retire.
And, you know, I will say, we have a bad climate in the northeast sense, but people love living here. They don't want to leave. And most people will pay that tax. I mean, they really want to stay here. It's an amazing state in between two amazing states with everything that you could think of, despite all the jokes. It's a great place to live. So who wants to move? Nobody. The only thing that moves them out, honestly, is lack of opportunity or the taxes. I'm going to take a little break, give you the number ones again, because I do want to get back with the Assemblyman. So we are Ronald Gielak and Associates. We are registered investment advisors. We are everywhere you would like us to be. We set up meetings with you in our area, in our listening area. We have flagship offices in Parsippany and in Naples, Florida. We are not, I think, the ordinary. I personally am a financial gerontologist, which means that everything I study and learn has to do with your successful aging. And so definitely our clientele is right up against what the Assemblyman is talking about. Can we stay here despite the taxes? We will help you do that because we know you do want to stay here. You don't want to disrupt your life. 800-467-8152, a 15-minute no-pressure discussion on the phone, a one-on-one at any of our offices or in a local office that we've set up for the occasion, or simply come to one of our live events that we schedule 3 or 4 times a month in our area. Get on the list, 1-800-467-8152. That's 1-800-467-8152. All right, so to recap here, Assemblyman, we have the constitutional amendment that to save pensions that you really feel is going to lock us into a lot of trouble in the future. You see trouble coming there. The North Jersey casinos, which you feel are inevitable, but perhaps are not going to be managed in the right way, and history of Atlantic City may repeat itself. But if done properly, it could contribute to school funding, particularly in our most distressed areas like Jersey City. And we need some reform to reduce taxation so that entrepreneurs can thrive and so that people can continue to stay. So those are important agendas. But I also know that some wonderful things have come out of Trenton, that you've been involved with some things. And I like to ask this question. I know Leonard Lance loves to answer it. If you would say the thing you are most proud of that you've worked on that is working, what would you say it is?
Well, the areas that we've talked about today, especially with how to resolve the pension crisis, how to resolve the property tax crisis, how to address the tax situation in New Jersey, have really been the reason why I wanted to serve in the legislature. And those things have been what I focused on most. And I can't really say that I have a list of accomplishments just yet, but I'm not going to stop working on them. I think the thing that's given me the greatest satisfaction is winning election for the third time in a district that is really a microcosm of New Jersey. I mean, when you look at the 16th district, we've got South Brunswick in Middlesex County. We've got Princeton and Mercer. We have seven southern Somerset County towns. We've got five Hunterdon County towns. I've got the far right. I've got the far left. I've got some of the most rural areas in New Jersey. I've got some of the most urbanized areas in New Jersey. There are more registered Democrats than Republicans in the district, but almost twice as many unaffiliated or independent voters. So it's very, very gratifying to win in a district that is not gerrymandered. I really believe the biggest threat today to our democracy are gerrymandered districts. Competition makes us better. This is a very competitive district. And so it's very gratifying to work hard, speak about the issues that I'm most passionate about, and continue to be fortunate enough to win elections.
So let's get down to a how-to. You mentioned, you threw out a word earlier, and that was brainstorming. You said, you know what, I think there's not enough brainstorming in Trenton, and I don't know if that was code for both sides of the aisle willing to talk with each other. I don't know if that was, there's just simply not enough research, and we shoot from the hip in our decisions too much. But what did you mean by brainstorming, and what would that look like in Trenton if we really did that?
I would love to see us allow ourselves more time to just sit in rooms and members of both sides of the aisle, leadership and rank and file, and just discuss what the best solutions possibly are. I've always found, and I own my own business, and certainly I can exercise my executive privilege as owner and CEO at any time, but it's not my style. There are people here at the company that are smarter than I am. And you want to tap into that intellectual capacity. You want to tap into people's talents. And you never know where the next best idea can come from. And I just find as though, in my opinion, we don't sit down far enough in advance of certain deadlines and discuss how best to address, how best to solve the various crises that New Jersey's up against. And so that part of it is frustrating, but I'm not giving up. And I will continue to try to make those conversations happen and continue to try and make us arrive at solutions in a very collaborative way.
Yeah, you know, in the private sector, they have the corporate culture. We'll say there's a corporate culture to any major company. And there are people within those corporations whose sole job is to look at that corporate culture and see where it has flaws and strengths.
Right.
And increase the strengths and get the flaws out of the picture. But I'm hearing from you that Trenton also has a culture, and it seems like it's a culture of rush, where because there is so much to do and there is so many decisions to be made, they're not as thought out as you would like to see it. And perhaps with your influence, that could be pointed out. I would bet that you're not the only one frustrated by that issue, but the way things go procedurally may simply be built into the culture that things.
Right, and you know we have to work extra hard at cultivating that type of culture because it is a political institution that many times is divided along party affiliation and ideological boundaries. So we have to work even harder. What everyone understands here at my company, from top to bottom and from side to side, is we're all working toward one goal. So easier to accomplish in the corporate setting because people are not allowed to bring, if you will, ideological rigidity to the table. We all have
right.
to remain open-minded about how best to serve our clients. And if we did that in Trenton, just keeping in mind that all 8.8 million citizens, every one of them is expecting us collectively to improve their quality of life. And so I just think it would be a much more dynamic institution, and we'd lead to better solutions if there was a more collaborative approach.
Well, you know, we started this, we're at the end of our half hour. We started this by saying that Assemblyman Jack Cittarelli, District 16, is one of the people that has an effect on your life. You can now see that that's true, the effect that he would like to have and the effect that he would like to have in Trenton as well. And for those of you who have questions, remember, you're always able to email a question to adrianagberg, that's adriangberg@gmail.com. We'd like to hear from you about our show, not only about coming in for an appointment, but if you'd like that too, it's 800-467-8152. And get out there, kids, and make it happen. Thank you, Assemblyman.
Adrian, thank you. You've been very, very kind with the time and with your words. It's all very well received. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Okay, that's good.
How'd that work for you, okay?
Perfect. Very, very good. Thank you so much.
No, you're great. I mean, you make it very conversational, which is what I enjoy.
Well, that's wonderful. And fight the good fight.
Fight the good fight.
What can I tell you?
Okay. Yeah, I hear you.
All right, bye.
So, bye-bye.